Hey, it's Jed Hearn, host of Wizards, Warriors, and Words. If you're enjoying the writing advice on this show, you might like my new podcast, The Jed Hearn Show, where every week I share the best fantasy writing advice that I've learned from publishing 3 fantasy novels and a best-selling video game. There's over 12 episodes that you can listen to right away, including my top 10 fantasy books of all time, how to make fantasy names that don't suck, 2 rules that make writing effortless, and my complete summaries of Brandon Sanderson's and Neil Gaiman's writing classes, and much more. Check it out by searching for The Jed Hearn Show in your podcast app.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Hello and welcome to Wizards, Warriors, and Words, a fantasy writing advice podcast. I'm Jed Hearn, author of The Thunder Heist, and I'm joined by my fellow writers, starting with Dirk Ashton.
I am Dirk Ashton, author of the Paternus Trilogy.
And Michael R. Fletcher.
Hey, I am Michael R. Fletcher, author of...
Obsidian Path.
Beyond Redemption, and the Obsidian Path, and the Manifest Illusions, and the City of Sacrifice, and some weird science... fiction-y cyberpunk thing.
A lot of books.
Goats of Tomorrow.
Goats of Tomorrow.
That's the fan fiction spin-off that the world needs right now. So today's episode, we have a listener question. So let me pull up the question in my notes over here. So question comes from Nick Wrights, who says, just discovered your show and really enjoyed it. If you need a theme for an episode, we do. Thank you for sending that in. I'd love a starting from scratch episode. Where if someone, specifically, brackets, me, was starting their publishing journey this year, what stuff should I do leading up to the launch? I'm planning a 3-book rapid release strategy. So okay. I think we can talk a little bit about just in general what we would do if we had to start from scratch this year publishing. And then we can also give Nick some specific tips for his kind of 3-book rapid release plan that he's got. So... Mike, do you want to kick off first? If you had to start publishing this year from scratch, what would be the approach you take? So let's say it's January 1st and you know that by the end of the year, you want to have a book published. What are your plans?
Okay. So, all right. 2 critical things you need, and this is just fairly focused. You need to get your book edited and you're going to need cover art. Probably what I would do is if the book's like close to being finished or preferably finished, I would contact Sarah Chorn initially. And if she's too busy, then I'd go hunting for other editors. But I would book an editor stat because they are busy. And there's going to be a waiting time and you got to get your shit on that waiting time. The second thing I would do is go hunting for an artist. Now, my first books, I was very lucky because it turned out I was actually related to an artist. But what I am doing these days and how I found my most recent illustrator is I started trolling, DeviantArt and ArtStation. Looking for styles that I liked, and then reaching out to artists, talking about my project, I'm getting an idea of their budgets. So I had a couple of artists, 3 of them, who liked what I was doing, and whose styles I liked. I paid them each, for 1 piece of art, and then I basically picked the best piece of art. Budget was less of a concern, but they came in anywhere from like what was it like? The range of prices was surprisingly big. It went from like about $50 to about $300 per sketch. The most expensive one was not the best one. I picked the artist whose style clicked with me. But that process, that reaching out, talking to people, and because artists need to get paid, even like each one, I paid them up front for one piece, for one illustration. So, you know, even through the sort of like selection process, I was not wasting anyone's time. Every artist got paid, for their one piece. And then the one that I liked the most, I kind of booked for what, 10 to 12 more pieces, after that. But, that would be sort of my first steps would be, find an editor, find an artist. Because that stuff's going to take time. Mm-hmm.
Yep, absolutely agree. That's very important. Dirk, what about you?
Just to continue what Mike was saying about covers, look at books on Amazon that are in somewhat the genre that you're working, and look at the ones that are doing well by looking at the rankings. And then you want to have a very similar type of cover in look and feel. Don't try to buck the trend, especially if you're going for a rapid release. You're obviously taking this thing pretty seriously. We already know this person wants to go self-pub instead of trad-pub. I would highly recommend, if you're going to do a, did they say 3 month rapid three release?
There's no time frame on the months, okay, as far as I can see.
Some people do 1 month, some people do three, some people do six. Six is not really rapid release. Two or three, three is. You want to put the link to the next, you want to put the first chapter or a preview of the next book in the first book that comes out, each book that comes out, and the link to the pre-order page. Put it up on pre-order, let people click that and pre-order the next book as soon as they're done with that book. That's for the ebook, of course. Make sure that your cover looks good in thumbnail. It's got to look good this big on a screen, and catch people's eye. The other thing I would say is go and read up and study up and maybe take some classes on Amazon advertising. And you'll want to be running an ad for your book the day that it is released, and see how, because that will help. If it turns out that it's too expensive and it's not, you can always turn it off. But I'm of the opinion that you might as well try it, so that if it fails, it's not because of something I didn't do, right? I would say get all three books. If you're going to do unless you're one of those people that just writes really fast, if you want to avoid stress, and since this is your first release, take your time. Take your time on the book cover, take your time on the editing, take your time on getting all your ducks in a row. And that means getting on social media and finding out who the influencers are, getting to know people and just be part of the community and responding. People, you know, go to the blog sites, follow Fantasy Book Critic and Fantasy Faction, and get on their groups if they have them on Facebook, and FanFi Addicts and the Fantasy Hive, who am I forgetting?
Book Asylum,
yes.
Grimdark Magazine.
Grimdark, yeah, they're just great. They're just great people anyway, and it's a great group. Awesome. It's a great group on Facebook. And just engage as a reader. And then when your book is ready, you can reach out to these people, go to their websites, find out what their submission requirements are. Don't bug them on social media about reading your book, and go through the official process and see if they will get reviews out for you. Give yourself a few months of advanced release copies, ebooks going out to these people, and other people.
Like three months
at least. Right? And so yeah, take your time and see if some of them will. Oh, Patrick Leo at he's a really good one to follow.
Novel Notions.
Notions. That's And they're a great group of reviewers there besides just Patrick. And then see how that goes. But yeah, you want to get your ducks in a row and relax. Take your time. Don't get yourself in a huge rush. That's one thing I think I did right when I did put my first book out. I took plenty of it was from the time I finished the book to the time I published it, it was like 8 months or 9 months. Now you might really want to be in a hurry, but going back, I would say finish all three books, get them all done, and then start doing this stuff. If you're a fast writer, it's not a problem. If you're a fast writer, maybe you don't have to do that so much. You don't have to completely finish them all, but you never know what kind of things will come up. And when you promise that they're going to come out every 3 months or every month, and then they don't, you're in much worse shape than if you took the time and waited, right? So that would be what I would do if I was doing it again right now.
Yep. I think to add to your point about studying covers of successful books, the other exercise which I would highly recommend doing is studying their blurbs as well. So the exercise I did, this was probably about a year ago, and it was very, very useful for helping me become a better blurb writer, which is something that a lot of authors struggle with, is go to the books that are similar to yours, that are selling well, so lots of reviews, positive reviews, hopefully, and copy out their blurbs by hand, write it down into a notebook or something like that. I've got one sitting behind me that probably has about 10 different really successful self-published fantasy book blurbs written down in longhand. And you might think, I don't need to write them down. I can understand what they're doing successfully and I'll know how to copy them just by looking at them on the screen. But what I found is that if you actually write them down longhand, you start to see the patterns and understand what they're doing at a much deeper level. And if you are someone who is like, I got no idea what a good blurb is, then I would highly recommend that exercise. And even if you do think that you know what a good blurb is, I think it would be quite eye-opening as well to do that. So the kind of challenge I would probably set to you, if you, let's say it's, you know, January, you're going to publish, let's go September of that year, is to have a 30-day period or whatever period you want where you say, each day I'm going to spend 10 minutes finding a successful book that is in my genre on Amazon. I'm going to write down a few things about why the cover or what the cover is doing. So, small man holding sword with dragon in background. Okay. Then you're going to write down the blurb. So that is, you know, a couple of minutes of writing it down. And just doing that every day for a couple of weeks will give you such a huge advantage over authors who, because there's authors out there who literally just have written the thing, they've made the cover, they're putting the book up on Amazon, and they get to the part of the publishing process where Amazon says, put in your blurb here. And they go, okay, there's this thing. And they write it down. And I know mm-hmm. that some authors do that because that's what I did for my first book. I just didn't even really think about it. And I was like, huh, I guess I need a blurb for this. Blurbs can't be that important, right? And they are. So have a think about that. Try to have that process of, yeah, just making yourself better at understanding how blurbs work. And before I publish my next book, which will be in a few months, I plan to do that process again. I plan to find books that are similar to mine and copy their blurbs down longhand so that you can see what are the kind of words and phrases that are making this book appeal to certain readers. How are they kind of structuring that? And a great book for improving your blurbs as well is Writing Killer Cover Copy by Alana Johnson, which I've recommended before on the show. That thing like took me from blurbs being, I guess, a source of slight trepidation and worry to then being like, oh, okay, I understand what these are doing now. So definitely the blurbs is important as well. And then, on the topic of genre as well, I think a lot of writers struggle to kind of fit their book into a specific genre when they're doing their first launch. So it is worthwhile thinking, like, what are the five other books that are most like mine on Amazon? Because even within fantasy, there is grimdark fantasy. There is your kind of like classical high fantasy. There is fantasy with no magic. There is fantasy that is set in more of an industrialized modern settings. There are all these different niches within it. And yeah, if you can't kind of clearly answer or know in your mind which niche you're fitting into, it will be more difficult to promote it with ads or with knowing who to reach out to and everything. Like if you go to Grimdark magazine and you are kind of giving them a book that is not very grim at all and is like, you know, kind of light and fluffy, they'll be like, what are you doing here, bro? This is not our kind of thing that we like to read. Whereas if you go to them and you're like, yeah, there's 20 people who die on the first page. Okay, maybe that's probably a better spot to approach them. So yeah, I think, yeah, definitely look at the blurbs, have that practice of trying to just, you know, look at the things that are successful out there. A lot of our advice is coming down to find out the books that have been successful and sort of copy what they're doing, because clearly they are doing something right. And the good thing is, because you might be thinking, oh, my book's different to all these things. Mike can probably speak to this a bit. Like, your goal with the cover and the blurb is to get the reader into your book. And then once they're in, that's when you can go your own way, right? Like you've talked about before how your process for writing blurbs is almost like, I'm just going to figure out the way to make this sound as cool as possible. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of writers think that the point of the back cover copy or the blurb on Amazon is to summarize the story.
Wrong.
But I mean, summaries are by definition boring as fuck. Though the whole point of a synopsis, a blurb, is to sell your book. And so that's what you're doing.
Yeah, if I can you're embarrass Mike for a bit, I'm just going to read the blurb from Blackstone Heart because I think this is a fantastic example of what you're talking about. So Blackstone Heart, first book in the Obsidian Path trilogy. This is how it goes. The first step on the Obsidian Path, a broken man, Crayon awakens alone and lost. His stone heart has been shattered, littered across the world. With each piece, he regains some small shard of the man he once was. He follows the trail, fragment by fragment, remembering his terrible past. There was a woman. There was a sword. There was an end to sorrow. Crayon walks the Obsidian Path. And then you've got some reviews after that. Like, that tells you nothing about what's in the book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nothing.
But it's awesome.
It catches your attention. Exactly.
And it tells you the emotion you can experience in that book as well,
right?
And
I think Mike and I are two of the rarer types who prefer short description on blurbs. Yeah. On they call that the description section on Amazon KDP. I like the short ones. If I see something that's 5-6 paragraphs long, like good-sized paragraphs long, and most of them are like that, I read the first paragraph, and if my attention isn't caught, I'm done. Even if it is, I don't read the rest of it because it either got my attention or it didn't. So I go with shorter ones. I can't say I recommend that because I know a ton of super successful authors who write these much longer ones, and they do fine. They do great. That's just what I prefer to read and what I prefer to write. The other thing I was going to say, thinking back to if I was doing it this year, then when I did it, one thing I did not do was a this meets that, and I did not identify the genre, right up top in either by using a quote from another author or or something in the description. I shied away from calling paternus urban fantasy. I didn't believe in doing a this meets that. When finally I was talked into going ahead and doing it, my book sales rose immediately and, you know, significantly. People want to know what it is. You don't have to do a this meets that, but it needs to be clear what this is. It's obvious that Mike's is a fantasy. right? From the very beginning. Okay, so first we know it's a fantasy. Then we get an intrigue, right? We become intrigued with this particular fantasy story. So it's very clear what this is. And that's what audiences want. My books are bizarre in the kind of the way they're set up, and they're not really traditional type urban fantasy, but they're not like epic high fantasy, but they're structured like. So mine is was quite a bit harder. If you're in a much more defined genre, you'll have a much easier time.
Yes, absolutely agreed. Yeah, and you came up with a kind of good combination in the end where you bill it as epic urban fantasy, which is perfect.
Yeah, and that came later. And that came later. So you don't be afraid to update and change things. Mm. Especially as good as reviews come in. I mean, if you get lucky enough to get an M.R. Carey to blurb it, put that fucker right there.
Oh yeah.
In the description.
And Mark Lawrence as well.
And Anthony Ryan.
And Anthony Ryan. Yep. Yeah. Some excellent, excellent authors to put on there.
And Nicholas Eames.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
My buddies call me the blurb collector. I've been really, really lucky. Really lucky.
Well, you wrote a good book, so that definitely helps as well. But yeah, you've definitely done well to network and get those people raving about your book, which is amazing. The other thing as well, the other piece to consider is starting up an email list. So not all of us do this. I know Mike doesn't use an email list or Amazon advertising or a lot of the other strategies that we're talking about. And that's good because it shows that there's more than one way to kind of skin the cat. But I think starting an email list early can be very beneficial. So,
and it is really, really good to have a website, even if it's just a one-page website. Mm-hmm. You need to have a website with a sign up for newsletter and your social media icons so people can follow you. Those things are pretty critical. It doesn't have to be something expensive and huge and fancy with a zillion pages. I know because that's what I did and I didn't really need it at that time. But I think I'm getting a new website completely revised now, and I think it's going to be a lot cooler. Yeah.
Yeah, I spent long developing my website and then like haven't touched it in 2 years and I've realized it's really not important, but it's still like, because I built it in a certain way, like it still brings in, you know, email list signups every couple of days, just keeps trickling through. So yeah. And on the point of your email list as well, the other thing that might be useful to do, particularly if you're writing a 3-book trilogy, is to write a short story or some other thing that you can give away as a reader magnet. So what that is basically sign up to my email newsletter and you'll get this short story that is prequel to the trilogy, set within the trilogy, about a character that people like from the trilogy. And that's a really good incentive to lure people in. So for me, I've done that for all of the novels I've published. I've also written a short story or even a novella for one of them. And you can see how I've structured that on my website. I'll put a link down below. But the benefit of that is that you're building your career for the long term, because what you want is that the people who are finishing your first book and enjoying it, you want them to pre-order the second book. And then as they continue throughout that series, you also want them to become lifelong fans and to join your email list.
Yeah.
Is if you're doing a great the rapper, stay in contact with them.
Yeah, you can do pre-orders 90 days out. So if you are doing a rapid release, you want to have that link for the pre-order in the end of the book. If you're not, then you don't have it, but you can do that. I just wanted to add just real quickly a couple of things. Mike brought up Sarah Chorn as an editor. If you're looking for editors, I would highly recommend Dale Triplett and Taya Latham. Taya is doing editing now, and she's fantastic. Taya, T-A-Y-A-L, Latham, L-A-T-H-A-M.
Taya Latham, editor. I will get you to send me all these names, and I'll put them in the show notes down below if people want to follow up with them.
Cool. And that's it.
Awesome. So, Mike,
One other thing. So I was recently doing a like author chat on the Oasis Discord with a bunch of writers. And it turns out a bunch of people set their
expectations,
their pre-orders on Amazon before they've actually finished the book.
Yeah, no. Not a good idea.
And then sent, yeah, that is, yeah. I mean, and you know, they're like, oh, it's motivation. No. It's like, yeah, it's also like stress and terror.
No, it's worse. It's worse than that. If you fuck it up, Amazon could say, we're not going to let you release this book now for another year or yep. something like that.
Yeah, and they will, if you screw up a pre-order, they will remove, they won't let you do pre-orders anymore. Yeah.
I think it's for a year or something like that. Yeah, and then they give it back. Something like that. But yeah. Still bad. Yeah. You don't want to get on their wrong side.
Don't do that. Oh.
My thing is when I get the book back from the editor and have gone through all the edits, basically when the book is ready, the day I could sell that book, I set my pre-orders for 3 months mm-hmm. in advance. I don't set pre-orders until the book is done. So if you're planning a rapid release, honestly, I wouldn't even set the pre-orders for your first book until your third book is written.
Yeah.
And
again, write all the books. Yeah. I just wanted to go back to author blurbs, famous author blurbs and stuff. They are not necessary. No. Don't freak out trying to track down blurbs to put on the front of your book. I have blurbs on the front of my book, but look at just about every other super successful self-published book, and it doesn't have them, right? I think it helped me early on because of my strange genre and trying to get people to figure out what it was, added a little legitimacy. For me, but I don't think that's the case for most self-published authors.
Yeah, totally agree. So I think, yeah, for me,
don't stress about that.
It did influence me quite a bit when I saw the quotes on it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like everyone's mileage varies, I think. So yeah. So basically to summarize, if you are trying to publish starting this year from scratch, the most important things are probably understanding what makes a good cover, understanding what makes a good blurb, making a good cover, making a good blurb, kind of being active and engaging in the fantasy author community. So the fact that you're listening to this podcast probably lets you like kind of have a head start on that, which is cool. And then, yeah, trying to find a good editor, making sure that you're not rushing until you have everything sorted. And then, yeah, just I think also something we haven't talked about is realizing that this is not the be-all and end-all of your career, but it is a building block that will hopefully get you a couple of lifelong fans, right. A few more casual readers, and hopefully a lot of feedback that allows you to improve with your next book as well. So take it as a stepping stone. This isn't make or break. This is just your first building block. And yeah, you should be good. So Nick, thanks for sending that question in, and good luck with starting out on that journey.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'd love for you to keep us updated because I know you sent in this question to us a couple of weeks or maybe even a few months ago. So it'd be great if you could, let us know how it went, if it's done, and be very cool to kind of follow along. So if you would like to help support this show, you can head on over to our Patreon, patreon.com/wizardswarriorswords. And on the Patreon, you can get access to, as of the time of this recording, one extra bonus episode that you cannot find anywhere else. So if you enjoy the podcast and want more, that's a good place to go.
It's Mike dancing with goats.
That's right.
Doing
goats of tomorrow.
It starts out as Mike doing goat yoga, but it turns into Mike dancing with goats.
It escalates rapidly. It escalates very rapidly. So if you want to check that out, head on to the Patreon. Any amount, any like of the tiers there gets you access to that bonus episode, and we will be adding more in the future. Plus, there's also other cool things like priority access when we do listener questions, access to some of our books before they're published, and all the cool things like that. So the link is down below if you want to check that out. Thank you for listening or watching, and we will see you next time. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody. Thank you.
Goodbye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.